This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. They got the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement done so that it will now be up to Congress to approve it. One would not think that would be so hard, but what does Congress do that is not a struggle for them? They met the deadline for the USMCA, but the 2014 Farm Bill expired at midnight last Sunday. There are enough permanent features in the farm program policy that USDA doesn't have to shut off the lights. It probably would have been good had they done so, as it would have given Congress some consequences for not finishing the Farm Bill on time. There is a huge divide over the food stamp, SNAP portion of the Farm Bill and farm programs. They could not generate the political support for a Farm Bill without a marriage of the two. Both the House and Senate passed the Farm Bill, and the two bodies are now in conference, trying to work out differences, which is not going well. The House blames the Senate for the expiration, but that goes both ways. The Senate has been busy with its Judiciary Committee. I doubt reporters are asking senators about the Farm Bill as their first question. The House wants to tighten up work rules for SNAP payments that there is no Senate majority support for. Frankly, they could take another look at the safety net in the Farm Bill that is set too low to the ground for actual safety. A Farm Journal Pulse poll of farmers had 84% say yes to the question as to whether they feel we are in an agricultural recession. Congress can move forward with an extension, but SNAP, trade, beginning farmer, organic agriculture, and other programs would lose funding with no baseline beyond 2018. Finishing the Farm Bill would be preferable to kicking the can down the road with an extension, which will create more problems than it solves. The decisions holding the Farm Bill up will not be made any more palatable by an extension. They need to do their job and make them now. Farm bills have always required compromises, and as with everything else, the art of compromise has been lost to extreme partisanship in Washington. How they cover their lack of performance is to just blame it on the other political party and make their base voters believe it. Feral hogs are a great risk relative to African swine fever. While feral hog hunting is a popular sport in the U.S., and Winchester's made special ammunition for wild hogs, hunters are not keeping up with the growing U.S. wild hog population. They are now in 32 states, estimated to be 6 million in number and growing. I think that it is time to put a bounty on them. They do between 1.5 and 2.5 billion in damage each year, so there is a return to controlling them. It is likely unrealistic to eradicate them, but if hunters were properly motivated, it would put one heck of a dent in the population. There is $100 million in the proposed Farm Bill for this. They need to double that, putting a $50 head bounty per hog. Beef exports are already strong, but the upcoming trade talks with Japan have potential to be the most helpful to the beef market. Trump got a better deal than TPP 11 from Canada for U.S. milk access. Hopefully he can do the same with Japan for beef. Right now, both Canada and Australia get better terms from Japan on beef imports than we do. Japan says it will offer us TPP terms, but that will not be good enough. The weak loonie and peso prior to the USMCA have made Canadian and Mexican feeder cattle less expensive to buy in U.S. dollars. Strength in those currencies would have a reverse impact. The USMCA did nothing to change the North American cattle trade. Like it or not, it appears that we have an integrated beef industry that will continue to get more so. I would not describe current trade relations with Japan as being in a trade war, only because Japan has to this point been so accommodating as to avoid that. Japan has not employed the sanitary phytosanitary trade barriers to block U.S. products, as both the European Union and China has. China is less guilty than the EU for this, but then again, we should be getting an MIR 162 class action payment because of China's slow GMO approval process. There's plenty to fix with China, so much so that it makes Japan look good. I am sure that this can be improved upon, but they accept U.S. safety standards, GMO technology, and the like. That will make these talks with Japan far easier than those upcoming with the European Union, where SPS issues will be a tremendous battle. In ag trade with Japan, we are building on a success story rather than trying to force open the door. I'm still friendly to the corn market, believing that a major low and retest have occurred in that market. Mexico and Canada should have open access to our corn. Canada should raise all soybeans and import the corn they need from us, selling their soybeans to China, buying the soybeans that they need to crush from us too. There's going to be a huge reshuffling of supply chains. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.